said this: of those from 18 years old to 29, 70% of Americans did not set foot in a church. 70%. Of those 60 and older, 70% go to church regularly. I thought that was really quite interesting. In other words, what's happening? We're losing. We are a society that now has become ungodly, decadent, unchurched, postmodern, post-Christian, post-everything, it appears. And so I started to think about, well, where does Reformation come from? Where does revival come from? Now I know it's not the answer. Well, Holy Spirit must move everybody's hearts to become free. That's true. But are there not things that we can do as the people of God to give in revival or revelation? Are there not things God wants us to contribute? Or do we just wait for the Spirit to move? Well, we're going to look at a time in which there was a great revival. Time of really the first Reformation, that is under Josiah. So this is a series, not just about Josiah. It's a series about Reformation and revival. The ins and outs of how an ungodly, decadent nation is turned back to the Lord. That's an important question in our day, isn't it? Because indeed we are that ungodly, decadent nation. Indeed, we're going to do a verse by verse examination of the text. There's no surprise there, I suppose. I'm not sure how long it will take, but perhaps through much of the summer we will see. It'll be shorter than the Mark exposition. Okay, this evening we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 through 26. And what this is the setting of Josiah's reign. What was Judah like in Jerusalem? Israel's already been destroyed. I'm going to talk about the chronology here in a few minutes. But all that's left, the north has been destroyed, Israel's been destroyed by the Assyrians. What's left is Judah and Jerusalem, its capital. And the question we have, what was Judah like when Josiah came to the throne? What was Jerusalem like before he came to the throne? What were the people like spiritually? What was the state of the nation? The state of its leaders? The state of its people? Before Josiah came to the throne. Well, it's going to be quite clear. We're going to read chapter 21, verses 19 through 26. This is our section for this evening's time in Scripture. 2 Kings 21, beginning verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamath, the daughter of Haruz of Gath. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh, his father, he walked in all the way in which his father walked, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and put the king to death in his house. The people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? He was buried in his tomb in the Garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his place. What we're considering here is Josiah's ancestry, Josiah's heritage. Verse 19, let's look at that. Ammon, this is Josiah's father. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Perez of Jotham. So he was king over Judah, and the date of Ammon's reign is 642 to 640 B.C. 642 to 640 B.C. Israel had to destroy in 721 B.C. Judah will be destroyed in 586. So we're right in between the two destructions, 642 to 640 B.C. Now, Josiah's father is Ammon. He's a rotten snake. And his grandfather is Manasseh. My goodness. Nice hair. It is my family. So where do you come from? Ooh, bunch of horses. That's kind of what it says. And you see it's a short reign. It's 2 years. Manasseh reigned 55 years. Ammon only two. His reign was short and inglorious. His reign was short and inglorious. The writer in verse 20 summarizes the reign of Ammon. It says this, "And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done." Now, it's really quite interesting here in the original. It says that he did the evil. There's actually a definite article in the beginning of the word evil. He did the evil in the eyes of Yahweh as his father Manasseh had done. Now, it's a definite article because it's talking about a definite evil. And that definite evil throughout of the Judges and 1 Samuel, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, whenever it talks about the evil, it's talking about idolatry. And as we're going to see, Manasseh and Ammon put idols in the Lord's temple. It was a land filled with idolatry under Manasseh and Ammon. And what we see, normatively, this great adage, isn't it, that the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree? Well, Ammon didn't fall far from Manasseh's tree, and he hit every branch on the way down. That's a rotten kid. That's Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, and his father, Ammon. Unusually wicked reigns. Go back earlier in chapter 21, it talks about Manasseh's reign, verse 16. Look what it says. "Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Besides the sin, he made Judah to sin, so that they did what was the evil in the sight of the Lord." So he shed much innocent blood and then filled the whole land with idolatry. And here's Ammon. He's a bad king. Now, to drive that home further, look at verse 21. Ammon, he walked it all the way to which his father was. And he served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. He walked the walk of Manasseh, is what it says. He served the service of Manasseh. That's a Hebrew idiomatic way of saying exactly the same. He went on the exact same path. He trod the steps of his father's idolatry. As a twig is bent, so the tree grows. And we see that with Ammon, the exact same path as his father. And now it continues, verse 22. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and he did not walk in the way of the Lord. You see the contrast there in verse 21. He walked on the path of his father, verse 22, he walked on the path away from the Lord. Okay? There's a clear contrast there. He left the God of his fathers behind. He left Yahweh behind. An inglorious reign. A terrible, idolatrous gloom over the land of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, now know what happens. Verse 23. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and put the king to death in his house. They conspired, the servants of Ammon conspired together in league with one another. Here we have some palace intrigue, and the servants who should have guarded him now murder him. His palace, which should have been his place of defense, becomes his place of execution. Now, don't assume too much here. There's no reason given for his murder. Doesn't say because he was leading them in idolatry, so some really religious people got together and killed him. It doesn't say that. So don't assume that that's the case at all. In fact, I would argue it's the opposite. Because look at verse 24. Do you think everybody should have been happy? Everybody should have been praising these guys who killed this rotten, terrible king. But that's not what happened. Look at verse 24. But the people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. The people of the land stand up for Ammon and kill the conspirators. Were the people with Ammon? Indeed, it looks that way, doesn't it? And then they enthroned Josiah, his son, in his place. Put Josiah in the place of Ammon. Although they're not certain what kind of king he would be. I would think they're thinking they can control him because he's 8 years old. As he becomes king. 8 years old. Now what's amazing here to me, as we look at this palace and tree, murder man, Josiah on the throne, is that this had been prophesied 300 years earlier. Okay, the Bible, let's go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And here is the first king of the northern kingdom. It had just divided after Solomon. So you have Jeroboam in the north and Rehoboam in the south. And here comes this man of God coming to the king of Israel. Look what it says. 1 Kings 13, 1. Behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam, he's the king of Israel, was standing by the altar to make offerings. And the man of God cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? A son shall be born to the house of David. Josiah, by name. And he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. That's 300 years before Josiah comes to the throne. This 8-year-old boy in the throne over Jerusalem. Now, continue, verse 25. It says this, now the rest of the acts of Ammon and Egypt, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the answer is yes. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. This is what's being talked about there. 2 Chronicles 33, 21 through 25. Let's read about Ammon's reign. A second time. 2 Chronicles 33, 21 through 25. Now look what it says. just want to point out one or two things here. It'll sound quite familiar to our story in Kings, but there's some additions. So it says, Ammon was 22 years old and he began to reign. Remember, this is Josiah's father. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord as Amasa, his father, had done. Ammon sacrificed to all the images that Amasa, his father, had made and served them. And he did not humble himself before the Lord as Amasa, his father, had humbled himself. And underscore this, but this Ammon incurred guilt more and more. The servants conspired against him, putting to death in his house. But the people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Amos. The people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. Amos incurred guilt more and more. His father was on the throne for 55 years. Amos for two. And Amos outshone his own father with guilt and idolatrous wickedness. Now, note what happens in verse 26. He was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his place. Now, the formula for when a king dies in the books of 1 and 2 Kings is this. He slept with his father. You can see that in chapter 15, verse 38. Chapter 16, verse 20. That's 20, verse 21. King after king after king slept with his father. Not Ammon. Does say about Ammon. He was buried in the garden tomb of his father, Manasseh. He slept with his father, not his fathers. Now, what I want you to see with all this. Manasseh to Ammon. Ouch. Manasseh to Ammon. It doesn't get much lower than this. Judah and Jerusalem in an awful spiritual low. A low point. Despair. Hopelessness. Rampant idolatry in Judah and Jerusalem. And a little 8-year-old boy was put on the throne of that nation. Now, by sight, by our looking at it humanly, there isn't a prayer's chance that there's going to be a revival in Judah and Jerusalem. As we look at it that way. Reminds me of 18th century England. Before the English Revival, Wesley called London the swill of society. The swill of society. Every third house in London was a gin shop. There was horrible child labor. There was nobody dealing with poverty. There was great slavery. The Wilberforce came. I mean, all of these things. It was decadent, immoral, ungodly, spiritually dead. What hope was there? And there was a small group of scholars at Oxford, John Charles Wesley, and George Wesley. Through them, God brought a revival to England that has never been seen there since. So, I want us to begin to ask the question, is God chained by the ungodliness of men? Is God chained by the ungodliness of men? We look today. We see immorality spiral. The church, I don't know if you sense that. I just feel like the church is irrelevant. It's the most amazing thing. It's like it's dead. We're fighting with one another over unbelievable things. And as I think about Christianity today, 70% of those 18 to 29 never put foot in church. The postmodernism and post-Christianity is running wild. So is it over? Is God chained by the ungodliness of men? Is God chained by Manasseh and Ham and an 8-year-old coming to the throne? Nay, never. Okay, we will continue with this. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, as we study this path of Josiah, may we see that this is indeed an account of you and how you brought revival to dense spiritual lifelessness. It was you, O Lord, who are doing things even in our day that we do not see or understand. And we do pray for reformation and revival that this country would be struck by the power of the Holy Spirit changing lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now, we want to pray. So, does anyone have any prayer requests or praises?